Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Well, good. I'm sure glad that fog lifted. The weatherman ought to look outside once in a while. They predicted, the one I listened to, that it wasn't going to lift until like 3 o'clock. That's not a great way to start a homily, is it? Okay, all those who are in complete joy, please stand. How about that? I think I put it this way at the four yesterday, that this homily is going to be a bit of a dichotomy. It's the 1st of May, so it's CSA Sunday. You want the good news or the bad news first? You're always going to get the good news first. My concern is what you hear second, you'll remember and not first, but I'll do it anyway. Again, I think I started this way yesterday. Do consider, please, take 10 seconds or so, and consider. Really think about, feel yourself. And try to name or attend to joy, the joy of Jesus in your heart. Go. That's the dichotomy, right? We are in the 6th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Next Sunday will be the Feast of the Ascension and then Pentecost. So that's 7 weeks that we have prayer. And again, the opening prayer today, that we might know the joy of our redemption. Now, I do think you know that. But too quickly and too readily, it gets buried, doesn't it? It does. Such a beautiful gospel today, really. Now, it's odd to say, but it is true, that joy is a bit of a discipline. Joy, in the truest sense, is more than human. There's a lot of things that give us great joy. I bet you if we had time right now, if I ask anybody that has a new grandchild, he turned around immediately. And I bet if he asked him, he could show me 5 pictures, in fact, he did just the other day, of his new grandson. Does that make you joyful?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. But joy that Jesus is talking about is the joy of God. And you say, well, where do I get some of that? Well, you're in the right place because you get it here. But it's an inside job, right? It's knowing from the inside. Despite all the trials and troubles and weariness in the world, and there are many, as you know, you're not going to find that joy in the world as the world is, or ever. But you find it in Christ. I do want to spend some time with the CSA details, but again, the greater part of it is we give to what we value. And I'm pretty sure I asked the community last evening, how did I put it? Do you like the parish? Do you like that your parish?
Yes.
Do you care for one another?
Yes.
I know you do. You know, I've been here almost 20 years. I know. Okay, it's really 19, but that's almost 20. I was 20 years younger then, too. You know what I mean? You love the community, and well, you should. I think we're a very healthy parish. As my dad used to say, we're in very good shape for the shape we're in. But the goodness of our shape, as it were, is Christ. So the long view, just for a moment, because I think it all fits together, and we have to see the whole picture, really. Because the words are easy to say, but the realities are hard to know, really. You know that. Christianity, faith, takes work. It's a relationship. And it has to be inside work. It means prayer. That you desire God, you long for God, and some part of your day, even if it's only 58 seconds, should be more than that, you're focusing and naming that your life is in and with Christ. So in the Advent Christmas season, you see, each liturgical season reveals a theological truth. Now, I know big words, and okay, we can't live on theology and catechism. We have to have, you know, rubber meets the road kind of faith too. But the reality is, the theology of understanding why we believe what we believe is also important. So the Advent Christmas season reveals the theological truth of light. So that at the birth of Jesus, a new light came into the world. So as we hear in the beginning of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it is a light that no darkness will overcome. In the Lent is Easter season. The theological truth of Lent Easter is life. So that we die with Christ. We die to the disorder, the darkness of evil, sin, and death. And we rise to new life in the resurrection of Jesus. And I've asked you before, so I don't need to ask you today, but I know you believe. Maybe this much, maybe this much. He did rise from the dead. I believe that. I've seen it too many times, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, and it was a new insight for me, but it's so true. Love gives life. How many times have you been revived when someone forgave you and restored their love for you? When you loved and forgave someone else, and you could see them bloom like a wilted flower. Love gives life. And it's the love of God that made rise Jesus from the dead. In Pentecost, Pentecost is a liturgical season. The theological truth of Pentecost is love. And it's the final age of the church in which we are living. It's the love of the Holy Spirit. So resurrection is a way of life. It's not just a day or a season. It's a way of life. So that despite the darknesses and terrible evils going on in the world, God is still all over this place like white on
rice.
I don't mean quinoa, neither. Rice. Because he's here. Now I know, I won't point on my personally, but I know there's a number of men here who served in the Marines, right? Well, maybe they're sleeping. In the military, you've been through war. We've seen these things in the world before. You know darn well, men and or women in war, and through the Depression, what was the market crash, was 1929 or 30? We've seen these things. Many, some of you have lived through them. I'm not quite that old yet, but you know, I'm getting there. We've lived through these things. We've been through wars from the time of Christ and well before that. And we've survived, you see. Christ is still here because of light, life, and love. That's why we have joy. Redemption and resurrection, which I think I'm going to talk about again next Sunday on Ascension, they have to be living realities, a daily awareness, because every day God is loving, healing, forgiving, restoring. Don't you think all those people in Palestine and other places in Ukraine who are starving and unjustly held in captivity, what do you think they're doing? They're praying, and they're suffering, but they're praying, and I know God is there. I don't in any way, nor should I, dismiss the darkness and the dangers and the realities of all that. It's terrible, and we all see that every day, and it's so easy to complain, But God bless her. Her name was Darlene Chope. She died this past year. She used to say, well, complaining is like bad breath to God. But you see, the joy is in there, isn't it? Why don't we live from the joy? And it's easy to say, well, if God is so great and God has so much love, why is the world such a mess? But God's not doing the mess. God's doing the cleanup. If we would believe and pray, and that's the part we play, to pray and to do what we can, hands on if we can, to remind people. Because I can look out, and I prayed with some number of you. I can look out and see a handful of people, more than a handful, who have lost a spouse or a child in the last several months, if not in the last year. Many of you have been ill. You've recovered. We prayed with you, or we didn't, and you recovered anyhow. You see, God's all over the place. So it struck me last week in the morning mass prayers, and we've been listening to these same prayers pretty much for all of Easter, and you'll hear them again today. In this time we laud, we praise you ever more gloriously, referring to the resurrection of Christ. In this time, that we may rejoice in a full measure of your grace, the grace of Jesus dying and rising, that we may merit to receive the joy of our redemption, our liberation from sin, evil, and death. There's nobody in here that's not going to die in the flesh. But everybody in here is going to be alive fully in the spirit, beyond death. And that's why we pray in such a way and preach in such a way as we anticipate the grace of Pentecost. Please pray in that way, you see. If you spend some part of your day complaining, I do once in a while, spend twice as much time praying and reminding yourself that you're saved, that you're loved, you're accepted, as the Father has loved me, does love me, so I love you. So that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. It's already there. How does that go? Like the kid said to the Indian, well, there's a wolf and a lamb in me. I want to be like the lamb who's peaceful and nice and not like the wolf. And the Indian chief said, it depends which one you feed. Feed joy. And now for the rest of the story. I think some of you have received your C.S. Lewis letter today, and as I was reviewing this, I forgot to put in the goal this year. You know about the CSA. It's an annual appeal to support the Archdiocese of Detroit in their administrative work, central services it's called, but also the pastoral, spiritual, and educational works of the church. We are the church that we all support, you know, the seminary and a wide range of programs that feed the poor, literacy programs, evangelization programs. It's a wide range. You know all that. The theme this year is with our eyes fixed on Jesus. These are different times, are they not? They are. It's no secret that parishes throughout the Archdiocese of Detroit, our country, and around the world are really struggling, continuing to struggle in the aftermath of the pandemic and the troublesome economy, particularly inflation, which is a direct result of the pandemic. Parishes are still working to regain so many people who got out of the habit of coming to church, or they have aged to the point where they're not able to come out of the house anymore. And as people have not come back to church, offertory collections have gone down significantly. It's not a new story. I know you know that. But like business and family budgets, parishes are working to sustain the viable and basic services of parish life with decreasing income. The details are pretty much the same, but if you'll bear with me, I'll give you the details. As a J.P. Why do I always remember that? This has got to be 15 years ago. When did the poor man die, you know? But, you know, he was interviewing Jack Morris when Jack Morris can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour. And I don't even know what that contract was, probably $100 million. And JP says, well, it's not the money, it's the amount. So let's look at the amount. Again, the charter school lost whatever percentage, a significant number of their students because of the pandemic, either to homeschool learning or they went to different programs. So we lost a significant amount of money and are still not gaining that money because those students have not come back. We get about $120,000 a year from the school. It used to be much more than that. It's about $50,000. So that's $50,000 hole in our budget. But 10 years ago, we only needed about $20,000 of those dollars, but now we need all of it. And there's still a hole. So again, I've asked you before, but to help that, you could pray. You could ask the Lord to bless our school with more kids. I hate to say it, but more kids is more money. So that's the way to pray. The budget's pretty much the same, but the big ticket items that are pretty much ongoing, that are sort of hidden costs, typically we're $25,000 to $30,000 into the parking lot every year, but now we're really only doing one side and the other. Last year we did the Herbert side, and this year we'll put $25,000 to $30,000 into the parking lots to fix the spider cracks and tar the edges and the corners. $25,000 is a lot better than $500,000 because there's a lot of acreage. They don't look big when they're full of cars. There's a lot of acreage out there. If we had to redo one or the other, it would be at least $500,000. I'd rather do 30 a year or 40 and keep them stable for the next 10 or more years and avoid that $500,000 hit. Again, funny to talk about on a sunny, warm day, but our snow removal is very expensive. Every year we look for a new contractor, and one is more expensive as the other. The basic contract in and of itself is about $5,000. But in addition to the snow and salt is about $400 every time he comes. So that's an additional $12,000 to $15,000 every year. We can't do without the salt. I think they use too much, but liability concerns really demand that they come because we have kids and teachers coming and going every day. It's at least 10 or 15 years ago, one of the teachers fell on black ice in the parking lot and broke her leg in three places. I don't know how that case resolved itself. We simply can't do without the salt. So again, that's $20,000 to $25,000 in salt removal every year, and it hardly snowed this year. But that money still has to be spent. A more recent expense has been grounds maintenance, particularly our aging trees. I know you love the trees. People love the park setting here. It's beautiful. But the trees, you would know better than I, some of those trees are 50 to 75 or more years old. So we're feeding the trees, we're trimming them, they fall down, we have to clean them up. Sometimes it's an insurance case, but a lot of times just tree removal, disease or damage to trees. I know your home budgets are challenged because of inflation and the high cost, particularly of food. Our general office expenses similarly have increased, particularly postage. Have you heard? Stamps are going to 76 cents. Yeah. Paper. It used to be about $500 to do a parish mailing. It's well over that now because of the postage. But the paper's expensive, utilities, just salaries. Nobody gets rich working for the church. We try to give at least a modest increase to everybody on the staff. And I'm grateful for the staff, the work that the staff is doing conscientiously in these challenging times. Insurance costs, medical insurance that we're able to provide for our employees. With all that being said, our goal this year for the CSA is $38,205. It's never been that low. Why is it so low? Because our income has never been as low as it is now in the 20 years that I've been here. We're a parish of about 700 families, not quite 700 families now. And I would say on a good weekend, there's probably 200 people that are active. Of those 700, there's about 200 or maybe 225. How many people are here today? You didn't count. Well, how many hosts did you put out? Too many. Okay, there's about 130 here. It's a pretty good day today. Thank you for coming. Don't come because I need your money. Come because God wants your soul. But the reality is, because of the pandemic and whatnot, and you know, we have 35 to 40 funerals a year. And half of those people we don't know, but they've been here in the past, but another third or half of them are active parishioners who are generous givers. They don't give as fast or as much after they die. That's a loss. So again, in conversation with the finance committee, many other parishes are doing the same. We'd like to add a fundraiser to the CSA this year of $50,000. So with the $38,000 of the goal that we need, and you've really done, I will say, you've really done a great job in the last many years with the CSA. It's the most successful income that we have during the year. Last year, I think our goal was $41,600, was it? And we went over that by about $7,000. Most people kept their pledges, and we really did very well. But we're really at a point, at least for this year, we'll have to see. Please pray. Again, I think the easiest, if God could bless the school with more students, that's a big help. But please pray. But for this year, if we could ask to at least aim for an additional $50,000, which makes our goal $88,000. In 2019, the CSA goal was $65,418. We exceeded that goal only 6 years ago. This year, 2024, we're $23,000 less in our goal because of the weak offertory collection. So if you're still giving $5 or $7 or $12 in your offertory collection, and you've been doing that for 10 years, that's not keeping up. I mean, I'm sorry, and I know many of you are in fixed incomes, but I don't like to talk about money, but I can't not do it because then I'd be neglectful of responsibility to you as parishioners. It's about our faith and our souls, but I know you love the parish, and it would be dark and cold in here if we didn't have the lights and the heat. So those are just basic realities. Last year, there were 159 gifts to the CSA. The average gift was about $25 a month. I'm happy to say that many more people are using pledges, so thank you for that. If you could please think about this fundraising for this year, it's the first time in the 19 years that I've been here that we've had a fundraiser directly at all for the parish. That's almost unheard of. Now, I know we had the CLT, the Changing Lives Together, some years ago. The diocese have had fundraisers, but this is the first time in the time I'm here that we've asked for additional funds. So I ask you to please to prayerfully consider an increase in your CSA, possibly in your weekly offertory donations for the stability of the parish. I do want to ask for those who are listening online and watching, for our online friends who could in some way probably be here, but you're choosing to be at home, please support the parish. You know, the question constantly comes up, why? Why do we keep doing the video mass? You know, why not just make people come to church? Because there's an increasing number of our people that can't come anymore. But if you're benefiting from the video mass in that way, please support the parish and support the CSA. One of our more generous givers had received the letter and the envelope and had responded. The person generally gives about $1,200 a year and increase it to $1,500 a year. As I've told you in more recent years, for many years I've given $100 a month and I will increase that this year. That's what I can do. I don't know what you can do, but how does that saying go? Bad news and good news. The bad news is, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the other way around. The bad news is we need more money. The good news is it's in your pockets. Maybe that's the bad news. I know the economic strata of Madison Heights. Some have more than others, some have less, some aren't able to give, some are able to give more. Please do what you can. It's a beautiful parish, it's a healthy parish. We are in very good shape for the shape we're in. St. Peter and Paul downtown is asking for $90,000. They stopped doing their religious ed because they can't afford it anymore. I don't want to give up the religious ed. So again, other people, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Justin, are having to merge now. The diocese is asking them to become one site rather than two. I'm sure part of that is finances. So this is not in any way unique to our parish. It's almost every parish. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your prayerful response to this important appeal. Remember, resurrection and redemption are spiritual truths, but they live on the inside. You are loved with the same love with which the Father loved the Son. We are sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus. We're all going to heaven, but before we get there, we still have to pay for the light and the heat and the grass and the snow. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Bless this good and holy people. May your name be praised, and may your will be done in this good parish, for which I thank and praise you, Lord.